Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Did you know that the European Parliament, which, you know, compared to America, that would be like our Congress, but the European Parliament voted unanimously to be able to identify what's taking place to Christians around the world as genocide. As genocide. As a matter of fact, take a look now.
Members of the European Parliament say that what the Islamic terror group ISIS is doing to Christians and other religious minorities in Syria and Iraq amounts to war crimes and genocide.
It's very important to call it genocide. It's important because it's the truth.
Nina Shea is with Freedom House. Her group has been documenting ISIS atrocities.
In the ISIS-controlled territory, there is no evidence right now of any Christian life. All the Christians have either been killed or driven out. The Yazidis, thousands of them, their women are now sex slaves.
The resolution by the European Parliament says those who intentionally commit atrocities for religious or ethnic reasons must be charged with crimes against humanity.
And if we take this solemn vow of never again, as we have since the Jewish Holocaust under the Nazis, we have to call it as such for the Christians.
Former Congressman Frank Wolf, who has for decades given voice to persecuted Christians around the world, welcomed the unanimous vote, saying it finally recognizes the pain and suffering of those living under constant ISIS threat.
To call it genocide would honor those who have been the subject of genocide, so we remember.
The plight of Middle East Christians is sobering. In Syria, the number of believers has plummeted from 1.2 million to less than 500,000. In neighboring Iraq, roughly two-thirds of that country's 1.5 million Christians have either been killed or forced to flee by ISIS. Shea is now calling on the White House to follow the European Parliament's example and label what's happening to Christians in the Middle East as genocide.
There's a reluctance on the part of the administration to call it genocide against Christians. They have told us privately that they will call it genocide against Yazidis, but not Christians.
On the other hand, Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton has already said that ISIS is committing genocide. During a New Hampshire town hall in late December, Clinton says she was initially reluctant to use the word since it requires countries to take specific action to stop the genocide. Now, she's convinced otherwise.
I am sure now we have enough evidence. What is happening is genocide, deliberately aimed at destroying not only the lives, but wiping out the existence of Christians and other religious minorities in the Middle East in territory controlled by ISIS.
The European Parliament resolution calls on the International Criminal Court to begin investigating violations by ISIS against Christians, Yazidis, and other religious minorities. George Thomas, CBN News.
It is so good that the Parliament, 100% of Parliament in Europe voted to call it what it is. It's genocide against Christians and Christianity. But yet when we call it genocide, that's when you have to stand up and defend the people who are being destroyed. And genocide is trying to remove an entire people group from a particular nation or region or the earth. And that's what happened when Hitler was trying to commit genocide against the Jews, trying to destroy every Jew on the face of the earth. And you look at the birth of the original intent of the United Nations was to say never again. That was the whole purpose of it, you know, to prevent it. But yet it just seems like things are being taken over. But simultaneously, our president refuses to call it genocide, even though it is genocide. And if we call it genocide, then we have to get behind it and start defending the Christians that are being beheaded and killed. But remember James Foley? Do you remember James Foley when he was a reporter that was taken captive, and they were threatening to behead him, and our president came up, and when he was beheaded, they just made an announcement. They beheaded him. This Christian man, they beheaded him, and then he makes a few moments speeches, and he goes right back to playing golf. I mean, identifying it genocide, but the very fact of the actions that followed it. Take a look at this.
Reports.
He spoke for 5 minutes about the death of James Foley.
All of us feel the ache of his absence. All of us mourn his loss.
and immediately afterwards spent 4 hours on the golf course. Images of the president smiling while Foley's family grieved, making for a harsh headline in the New York Daily News, BAM's Golf War, and a variety of reaction in the city and suburbs.
He just doesn't care. He's an uncaring man.
I think he gave his condolences. He did what he was supposed to do. I don't think that he should always drop his life for society.
He's just totally disconnected.
I feel he's entitled to a life, and he can't just be president all the time. He has to have a life.
You're on vacation golfing while one of your fellow Americans is being tormented in another country. I find that very inappropriate, sir.
At Pace University, political scientist Christopher Malone says perception is reality for politicians, and these images feed a negative perception of President Obama.
Something like this sort of reinforces that sense. Well, maybe he is a little aloof, maybe he's a little isolated. I think that that sort of narrative really is starting to take its toll 6 years into his.
It's just, imagine Parliament votes unanimously to be able to call it what it is, genocide against Christians. Yet when our president hears about the news of a American Christian being beheaded, he goes and plays golf. You're hearing what the Americans are saying. You know, yes, this is the beginning of many people being beheaded. This is how they responded to it. We have to begin to stand up for the persecuted people on the face of the earth. America was known for actually standing up for that. And the Christians, I mean, I remember specifically that when, you know, Glenn Beck, a particular broadcaster with the Blaze, that he was talking to the Jewish people in Israel and saying, you know, that, you know, we need to stand up for the persecution of Jews. And he said some of the Jews, Jewish leaders in Israel said, listen, right now, we need to stand up for you because it's the Christians. And he was referring to Christians. Christians are being persecuted, you know, across the globe right now, greater even than the number of Jews that are being persecuted. I mean, it is time to really to put this all in perspective, because you understand that our own leaders, president, a person that we voted from our own population, sees Christians being beheaded and crucified and being ran out of their communities and towns, but will not even identify what 100% of Parliament identified as genocide against Christians. We need to pray for the persecuted church. We need to realize that it is so serious that the leaders of America, for whatever reason, are darkened in their understanding, and they don't even want to even speak the words of the reality of what's taking place. What does that mean? We're going to be talking more about this in our program, but if we don't stand for justice, if we wait too late, we're bait. Isaiah 58:59 talks about that we have to begin to say, you know, this is unjust. This is not right. It began with James Foley, and he's making that plea, you know, for America to respond. Hear his parents. You heard his parents interviewed on VFN TV. What took place there? I mean, it's like, what are we doing? What happened to our heart and our caring hearts towards Christians and the persecuted people on the face of the earth?
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.